So, Gabe, why do you use Fastmail? I ask out of curiosity, not in the accusatory tone it probably came across.
Let's see. I guess, well, at this point, I just really like all the features. The reason I initially even looked at, there's two kind of ways I could view the question. One is, why do I currently use Fastmail? Why did I switch to Fastmail? So previously, I was a Gmail user for a long time. Then I had issues with Gmail that it was just, I don't know, annoying technical issues and not liking some of their business model stuff. I know that's a whole nother discussion, but I switched to iCloud, and then, you know, I had issues with iCloud that I just didn't like. So at that point I was like, I want to choose email that is like, this is their business and what they do.
Yeah. We'll save the discussion of why you left Gmail for iCloud for later. But so it,
that when, sounds like an accusation.
That was an accusation. but let's talk about Fastmail. So what is it? What does it do?
So Fastmail is basically, you know, it's a company that they make, what they do is they make email, an email service. It's a pay service. You pay money for it, okay, and they give you a product for it. So I really like that aspect of it. And they also, like, because that's what they do, that's what they focus on. Like, that's, they're pretty small. They're an Australian company. And so there's this whole discussion of like jurisdiction and all that stuff. They've had a couple blog posts about how they feel about jurisdiction and spying and all that kind of thing. I don't really care that much about the spying.
Yeah, Australia is part of the Five Eyes anyway, so they got your stuff. I think they are.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's an interesting read, but again, it's not really like a number one criteria for me. What I really like is the support model for it. And you got to admit, the support model on Gmail tends to not be that great, right? But the support model on Fastmail, like, you email and like, this isn't working, or I don't understand how this works, or where is this setting? You get a response back really quickly with like a real human being responding to it and saying like, oh, sorry about that, it's over here, and we'll clarify in the documentation for, you know, future users. Like, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, that is cool.
Let's see. I really like now. So that's kind of why I switched and why I stuck with it. And I went in with maybe one of the cheapest accounts, which gave me more or less, you get like a Fastmail type address. Messagingengine.net kind of address. Relatively generic. And you can choose, I think they have like 30 or 40 different domains that you can use on their cheapest account, which is, I don't know, maybe $15 a year or something like that. And okay, that includes a certain amount of email storage and stuff like that. But then I did things like, well, I want to migrate all of my email that I have everywhere into Fastmail. So you can basically do this giant import of your Gmail accounts, your iCloud accounts, all the messages, and they pull it into their email structure, and they live on their server now. So I wanted to do that. So I wanted more storage. So number one. Number two, I wanted to use my own domain. And once you want to use your own domain, you kind of have to pony up more. So I think that's like $40 a year to get your own to use your own domain with it.
Yeah. Is that just one domain, or can you do multiples?
You can do multiples. You can do all kinds of cool stuff with multiple accounts too. Like you can be logged into two different accounts through their web client, and it's pretty nice. And switch between them, or have two different tabs open to two different sessions and not interfere with any of them. But they also offer like a 60-day free trial, which is pretty, that's a crazy amount of time to do a free trial.
That definitely is.
And so, you know, all those things combined is where I had email through my own web host service. I had email through Hover at one point. They're all fine. They all work. But kind of like the full package of the spam filtering is really good on Fastmail. There's some granularity to control how aggressive it is. There's really great ways to build rules. Like, all these things made it the full email package for me. And I actually really love email. Not the whole idea of like processing email, but I think email is a great method of communication. Like, you can send files, you can have a conversation. Most clients will show you it in a thread format if you want to, or show you, you know, in a just a straight linear fashion. So I like email. So it's important to me that I have a good client, good features.
Yeah. I mean, that is, I think that saying I like email puts you in kind of a minority right there, which is great. And if Fastmail contributed to that, I mean, there are definitely, you know, we definitely want to know more. So how do you interact with Fastmail? You said it's mostly through their web client.
Well, I started off like everybody else does. Like you use an email service and then you hook up a bunch of apps to it, right? And you use IMAP now. I would say people use POP. I don't understand those people. But obviously if you're using POP, you have reasons to use it. But, you know, most services, they provide an IMAP service. So you can connect up, you know, I use MailMate on my Mac and I have iOS, you know, the Mail app on my iOS device and like all these other ways to connect to IMAP servers. But like once you go in and you start using their web app, you start appreciating like it's a really excellent app. Like their desktop browser version of Fastmail is incredibly useful in that it has like keyboard shortcuts for everything. Everything you can imagine having a keyboard shortcut exists there. It just works. It's super fast. Really, really functional. Like, you know, you can quickly send a message to another inbox, you know, I use folders to organize my mail. So I can send it to a folder, like all through keyboard, never have to touch the mouse. Delete messages, flag them, whatever. But then, you know, I tried this is a while back. They announced a mobile version. You know how mobile apps usually are. Mobile web apps, at least for me in the past, have been kind of terrible.
Yeah.
Just kind of a reformatting of the other site, making it a long, skinny site rather than a, you know, wide version.
Yeah.
Theirs is not like that at all. They support swipe gestures on messages, so you can archive and delete by swiping left and right on a message. They have like intelligent use of taps. So if you're looking at a message and you tap it, it actually drops down a little context menu in the web app.
Nice.
So that's really cool. Like, I think that's super well thought out.
So it feels sort of like a native app.
Yeah. Yeah. But it gives you kind of like some features that you wouldn't get, or maybe you wouldn't get in a native app, or I haven't found them in a native app. Like, I do a lot through the 1Password browser. So you can set up like bookmarks in 1Password to basically jump into different accounts automatically, or to jump into different parts of Fastmail automatically. So like quick launch into these different things. But then if you're in the mobile app, you can tap and hold. So here's an example I did just the other day. I did a search. So their search is really awesome. You can use like regex matching and all kinds of stuff in their search. And you can create saved searches. But I just searched for a message, found the message. I kind of stumbled across this feature on accident. Then you tap and hold on the message, and you can copy a URL. Now, that URL, if you go anywhere else, any other device, right, like my Mac, paste that into a browser, it not only rebuilds that search and result set, but jumps me right to that exact message.
Wow.
So they're like URL links to messages. That's pretty neat. Like, I've always wanted that across all my devices where I can say like, you know, this message for this task, or respond to this person, or respond to this message. But the problem with that system has generally been those message IDs aren't identical everywhere, versus URLs are identical.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty neat feature of like the little mobile app, right?
Well, so if you're using like their mobile web app, you said you mostly use it inside of 1Password, or do you like say save it to your home screen?
I have it saved to my home screen as well, but I've lately been just, I'm in 1Password so often now.
Yeah.
I just find it super easy to like go to my banking accounts and stuff like that. I've gotten frustrated with a lot of dedicated apps aren't that feature complete in comparison to a web app.
Yeah.
For like my bank. Like, there's some things their iOS app just won't let me do, whereas I can go through the web browser and do whatever I need to do with my bank account.
Yeah.
So I do that through 1Password now.
That makes sense. Do you get mail notifications at all on your mobile, or is that something you just leave off?
I would say that's one of the downsides to it. So they have IMAP, and it will like do the regular syncing in the background.
Sure.
But it's not like a real time push. Like, as soon as the message comes in, you don't get a notification.
Yeah.
I don't want that anyways.
No, so it turns out
that matches what I want.
But you basically have it set up to say your mail app on your phone. And you use that for notifications, but generally when you interact with it, you jump into the web app.
Yeah, generally I'll go in there and use it. So I will use my mail from iOS to just quickly like check up and browse and say like, okay, what's happening? Haven't received any messages kind of thing, or to process in a very basic way. But the web app is, I would say, so much better for things like search, because you can't do complex searches in the mail iOS app.
No, you really can't.
It's really, really hard. Versus in theirs, you could say like, you know, from this person between this date range with an attachment. You know, that's kind of stuff you can do in the web app.
Nice.
And that's great. I like that a lot. And I use that kind of stuff. And I have saved searches that I've created over time of like, show me everything with a PDF attachment or everything from this group of people so that I can keep track of a little project or something like that.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, so do you set up like all sorts of rules and stuff?
Yeah, they have a couple ways you can set up rules too, which is, you know, I would say that's comparable to Gmail's ability to set up rules and to move tagged things and do all that kind of stuff. They have like a basic set of rules of, if it comes from this address, do this with it, you know, put it into this folder or forward a copy and then put it into this folder, you know, and there's a priority to how rules are executed. And you can get a lot done with that. But then they also use like the Civ language for mail rules. Hmm. It's pretty common. If you start looking into it, you'll find it. It's like a lot of old school self-hosted mail services provide Civ rules for, you know, creating custom, almost like scripts, like look for this little attribute. And if this attribute is found, do this next rule. And then, you know, you can set it up in a sequence and then have a lot of stuff, you know, going on with your messages. I would say the downside on Fastmail there is if you want to get into those super deep, powerful features, then you're pretty much just going to be editing a text file to create your rules, which isn't a great experience.
Gotcha.
So if you want to do some pretty advanced stuff like regex matching of address fields or subject fields and stuff like that, you can do that in almost like a point and click method of like, you know, look at the subject. If subject contains blah, then file message here. You can do that through a GUI. But if you want it a lot more complex, then you're going to write a text file.
How about spam filtering?
Spam filtering is really good. I don't actually hardly ever see any spam through my Fastmail account. Almost all gets filtered out automatically because they, like most big mail services, they try to leverage what they learn about spam from all their users to help filter out. So everybody benefits. So they have a way for you to report like, this is definitely spam. And if you do that, then it kind of helps everybody else. But you can also adjust like how aggressive it is. I don't have it maxed out, but I tend to have a lot of success with the spam filter that it hardly anything comes through. Now, I'm sure somebody will sign me up for some spam thing now. But it works great. And then you can do things on your own account, like whitelist a domain. So if you notice something that got like, you know, filtered out, you can say, you know, what?
Yeah, it's called ham. It's ham. It's like, okay. it's it got spam filtered, but it's actually a good email.
Actually good.
Okay. Yeah, it's called ham.
I did not know that. I didn't know how many meat products were involved in technology.
Oh yes, processed and unprocessed is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Okay. So you can go in and basically like to create a contact and say add star@domain, you know, and then now because it's in your contacts, it'll say this is always valid, anything from this domain. So it's a nice, easy way and kind of user-friendly way to create a whitelist without having to go in and do some nerdy text file stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. So I would say it's probably not as good as like if you were to get a dedicated service like SpamSieve or something like that to like aggressively do Bayesian filtering and all that stuff. But I've never had an issue with any spam on that service. Like I feel it's like actually way better than what my experience was on both iCloud and Gmail when it comes to spam.
That's pretty good.
And I use my, so the other thing I really like about it is all the aliasing stuff. And, you know, I used to use the plus trick on Gmail where you can, you know, you can do things to give yourself multiple email addresses.
Yeah.
Similar email addresses. And you can do the same thing on Fastmail. You can do some other kind of like neat things of, you know, even just with rules. I have it set up so that basically anything that comes in at a certain domain will automatically get processed, right? Doesn't matter if they had the right like address to begin with. And I use that, you know, how many times have you been to like even just the grocery store and they want your email address now in order to do anything?
Yeah.
So I just give out like spam at and then like my Fastmail address. And it's nice because while I have my custom domain, I can also continue to use that original Fastmail domain.
Oh, that's kind of nice. So it's associated with your account. Yeah, yeah. It's still there. It's associated with your account. Yep. Do you pay by the email address?
No.
Like at your level?
Yeah, not at my level, no. You do if you want to. So there's a family and business account too that you can set up so that you can be like an administrator of a whole group. And so I also have a business account. And the advantage there is so I can administer and say, like, here's these different users. They get their own login. I don't have to see their login. They get their own mail account. And I don't, like, have access to just browse their email account. Yeah. But then I can do things like I can set up at our domain level to say, if a message comes in and it's not addressed to this exact user, then I get it so that it does go somewhere. Or then I can say, you know, you get the ability to say the administrator, let's say somebody leaves the company, you have the ability to like pull all their email back.
Yeah. So
from their account.
Well, that's kind of nice. I mean, so like I'm on Google Apps. I've been on Google Apps pretty much since the beginning, since it was essentially free. And I've got my, you know, I've got my family on there. And so that's been one of the big, you know, restrictions keeping me off of Fastmail was not just the overhead of switching my family, but also it seems like the business and family plans are pretty expensive.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know what we pay per year. I think we're paying like $130 for our business account or something like that per year. But the whole point there is like, I'm administering it. We own it. It's our service.
Yeah.
And I have direct support. Like we had issues with our business account initially, like, cause I wasn't understanding how to set up certain aspects of the customization of, you know, who's a user versus what's an alias and things like that.
Right.
And support was awesome.
Oh,
like it was
nice.
Great getting somebody like, oh, here's a screenshot. Go here. Click this. Now go here. And everything's all set.
Well, and you're paying for it and there's no advertising.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, yeah. I mean, I didn't know this until just today. They offer calendaring as well now. Is that?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Their calendaring's cool. But I got to say, I don't really use it because I'm stuck in the iCloud calendar world because I share so many calendars with my wife.
Gotcha.
And so I don't really want to rock that boat. she's already on board with it. I don't want to mess with it. And like, I could go in and switch all of her calendars over. It works with CalDAV. So it worked basically the same.
Like seamlessly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. But again, just like their mail app, their calendar, like web app is awesome. It's super nice. I mean, it looks like a lot like iCal in a way with like nice pastel colors showing how time's blocked out, you can have multiple calendars. Like all this kind of stuff. They also have kind of the two less known features would be they have notes, which I don't use.
Hmm.
Like you can have a central repository of all your notes. And so that you can use their web app for that. Again, I don't use that. But the one that I think is undersold a lot is their file storage. And really with your email account, you also get basically a web dev account that also has FTP access.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
And the advantage there is like you can upload files to it. And then when you want to attach them to an email, they're always there in the file share, right? You can just, oh yeah, that contract, I need to send it to this guy now. And I just go and I attach it from their web app and it's attached and there. You can search it. But then you can also create public links from things. You can create a private link with its password protected to a file. So it's a pretty nice general solution if you don't already have all these things, you know, taken care of in other ways.
Yeah.
It's neat. There's lots of things that I just haven't had the time to explore that I think I would really get a lot out of, like the file share. I think that would be a really nice way to quickly share a link to something where I own the original somewhere, and but I can provide a URL to it.
Well, so how would you say that there's anything? Would you say anything? There's anything missing? Like, is there something that you miss from the other services that you've used?
Oh, let's see, tags probably.
So like there's no
concept of tags other than there's flagged and flagged or not. So
there's flagged. Are there like multiple flags? Is it just one kind of flag?
It's basically one kind of flag, and then there's pin. You can pin things to the top of your message queue, so they always show up at the top.
So you sort with is it standard IMAP folders for sorting?
Yeah, and nested folders and everything, and then you can search. You can search based on the whole mailbox structure or an individual location, which is what I find useful.
Yeah,
is being able to narrow down. You know, where I want to look and everything.
That makes sense. I mean, I use Gmail, I've used it for a long time, and every time I've tried to use tags, in a really robust way, it's never really taken hold. I have a bunch of scripts that automatically tag things, but I can't say that I've ever gone into a specific tag that couldn't have been a folder.
Tags have become less important to me after I moved off of mail.app, because I used mail tags a lot when I was on mail.app.
Yeah.
And that was great because it allows you to quickly slice and dice your messages and quickly find related messages and all that stuff. So I really liked tags at that point, and it was frustrating that they didn't translate over to Fastmail. But I moved to MailMate, which doesn't support as robust of a tagging system. And so I kind of just had to suck it up and say, okay, well, here's what I'll do. I have other ways to figure out where this stuff goes. That's why I use folders.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But something can only really exist in one folder. So that's how it's different than tags, right?
Yeah. Now, will it access an address book if you have, say, your iCloud contacts, or you keep your contacts somewhere else, or does it have its own internal address book?
It has its own internal address book. So I don't actually use their address book all that much. I've been using it more as the addresses have naturally just built up over time. And using their address book has added benefit in if you use a web app, it has auto completion for addresses and things like that. But I still have a lot of my addresses in iCloud, again, because I share it with my wife. I would really love if they could sync, between two different address books, sync my Fastmail with my iCloud automatically.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty fantastic, but you can do import-export. That's basically how you handle it. But I'm not super, like I said, I like email as a communication mechanism. I'm not a power user of address books kind of thing.
Yeah.
I put a lot of information in one password. I create secure notes and stuff like that if I want to record information about a person, but I don't use the notes field in address book extensively or anything like that. But their address book's pretty sophisticated. I don't know how they do it, but I'll get emails from people. I'm assuming they are another Fastmail customer and they've put their picture somehow in their address book, and suddenly I'll get an email from somebody I've never talked to before, and it'll have their photo associated with the message.
Interesting.
I don't know how that works. Never cared enough to investigate it because I don't upload my photo anywhere. It's not like I have to be concerned they have my photo somehow.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a Gravatar or something.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, I guess that would make sense. And they're automatically pulling it in somehow. The last thing I'd add about aliasing, which is kind of cool, is they have this concept of personalities is what they call it. And it's basically an alias for your sending addresses, which is nice because if you have a bunch of different, say you have other mail accounts automatically forwarding into Fastmail.
Yeah.
And then you want to respond to them from Fastmail. You don't want them to suddenly get a new Fastmail address.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's
so
really confusing.
So yeah, how do you do it? Do you have one central account that everything funnels into? Do you have independent accounts? How many inboxes do you have?
I have one email inbox, and that's Fastmail. And then all of my old legacy stuff I have now either forwarded or abandoned. But most of my other mail accounts that I was using, like Gmail and things like that, all automatically forward into Fastmail. And then I've created personalities so I can respond to them from the original mail address if necessary.
Gotcha.
And I pick and choose, and then you can use whatever personality you want at the time. So if I decide that this person, I want them to start using my new formalized email address, that's what I'll just respond with my current email address, and they'll usually automatically, everybody just replies to email. They don't really, type it in Does your each time?
Yeah. Does your personality email go out as like an alias? Does it say like on behalf of, or does it actually like?
No, as far as like on the client end, I mean, if you want to dig through the headers, you can see like they originally sent it to this address, and now this server sent the response.
Yeah.
But for all intents and purposes, from the receiving end, it looks like it came from that address. It shows the original address, you know, that you had sent your message to. It shows that as the from. So you really have to dig through the headers to figure it out.
Well, so, you know, it seems like iOS, the Mac, they're all kind of set up to handle email from either iCloud, you know, Gmail, mm-hmm. standard IMAP, or POP. Did you feel as you were setting up your ecosystem for this new mail system that do you feel like you're swimming upstream a little bit trying to do a semi non-standard, you know, provider?
Yeah, let's see. What would you lose there? Well, you lose the nice push of your messages if that's something you care about. Like if you need to know the instant that a message comes in, you want the notification. That's not going to happen with Fastmail. I think they've mentioned that, you know, it's on their roadmap, but it's not a high priority.
Not sure it's healthy.
Yeah, that's, again, not something I care that much about. But the setup in most devices is IMAP's not going anywhere. I mean, the IMAP configuration for iOS and for the Mac is pretty straightforward. What you lose is like that really simple, like, basically click here, put in your email address and your password, and boom, you're done. You have to actually go in. You have to go to the Fastmail site, and they have excellent, excellent documentation, like amazing, amazingly complete with nice code highlighting if you need, you know, to call out a piece of text or something like that. It's really super nice.
That's pretty cool.
But you'll still have to go look up, like, how do I configure this for iOS? And they'll say, here's the message, here's the mail server address, you know, put this into this field, and there's a screenshot of the setup, and, you know, make sure you use, for your username, you use your full email address that you use for login, and then your password. And then basically, once you do that, all your folders show up just like as they should.
That's just nice.
At that point, it's like any other mail service.
That's pretty nice. So,
I mean, how's Gmail these days with that kind of stuff? I know there was issues like recent. I don't remember what release of what, but it caused issues with Gmail because Gmail's not really IMAP. It's like its own special version of IMAP.
No, it's not, and it's definitely special. It's.
Is it problematic still, or have they gotten all that kind of like, you know, that's bygone days?
I think this is one way where Google is a lot like Apple, where it's just if you continue to use their stuff. Like if you stick with their entire ecosystem, if you stick with their apps, if you stick with all that, it's seamless. It just works the way it works. And as soon as you start to cross, then it starts to be a little bit of a pain. I haven't really had any troubles using a standard IMAP connection to Gmail. But if you're going to do that, you might be better served by a more traditional email provider.
Okay. All right. Fastmail's one of those like few services that I can almost hands down recommend to anybody, no matter like their level of nerdery. You know, just the average person, like, here's a great email service. If you're willing to pay for it and you care about like those reasons to pay for it. Or like, you know, super nerds. Potato Wire uses it, right? He's a super nerd.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's got like some crazy deep features that you can take advantage of if that's your thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like your choices out there are stronger than they've ever been. How long have you been on Fastmail now?
Whew, I don't know. I would say a couple years, I guess. I'd have to look. I've written up stuff about Fastmail. I'd have to look up to see my earliest post about it. But I wrote something, I don't know, last October maybe, October 2013, about like the initial how you set up a Fastmail account.
Yeah. But you've been with it long enough that you're kind of, you know, you're over any humps. You've been through, you know, you've been through the trying part. The honeymoon period's over. The pain period is over, and now you're very confident in it. And then, you know, you have no plans to switch.
Yeah. Actually, like there wasn't much of a pain point on the Fastmail end ever. It was mostly like handling all the forwarding and how I was gonna like basically have all my other email accounts give up the ghost and say, okay, this is now the canonical email inbox, and I'm just going to send everything here. I don't want to bother doing anything with it. Like that was where the issues were of like just figuring out the proper way to forward everything without losing messages or without flooding, you know, my inbox with stuff I already had, you know, that kind of stuff. So it actually wasn't that hard to do, but the difficulty was on the end of iCloud and Gmail getting that right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds pretty interesting. I may have to give it a new look. like I said, it's hard because I've got to turn the super tanker of my entire family around if I'm going to go over to it completely or sacrifice my email domain and just let it go. But,
yeah, well, to be fair, I didn't move my wife to it. So I don't know what that says about it, but you know, she's already using Gmail and she already knows how it works and where her mail is and why mess with that.
But you guys aren't on the same email domain, right?
No.
Yeah,
no.
That's the difference. Like my entire family is on my email domain. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't, knowing what I know now, I would never do that. I would always just keep it totally independent and separate from her.
And I have an opportunity, of course, to do that. I could always just grab one of my too many other domains and just use that as my primary. But of course, that's a hump of its own. Well, this is great. I learned a lot about this.
Okay. Well, let me know if you try it and what you think about it.
I will. Definitely.
60 days. 60 days.
60 days.
And they, you know, full disclosure, they have not and aren't currently ever sponsoring this show.
No, we don't have sponsors.
This isn't just us gushing because they paid us to. So
yeah,
or at least me gushing.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, check out the show notes. I'll write up a bunch of the stuff about like how I use it, and I know Potato Wire uses it like crazy, so I'm sure he'll go crazy with the show notes too.
Yeah, that sounds tempting. Cool.
All right.
See ya.
Talk to you later.
How I idolize those naughty Lula eyes. That's all.